Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome to episode number 103 of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media, and presented to you by our good friends over at SeatGeek. And taking a seat today, we would like to welcome him back for the first time as a member of the Cubs organization, Stephen Brault.
Hey, nice hat. I didn't even notice that at first.
Just wanted to make you feel welcome.
You're always on top of it, man. I appreciate that about you.
I try. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's been a blast here. Obviously, it's not exactly the start that I wanted over here. I can't wait to go over that story. But like the organization, the guys here, the women that are part of the organization, I mean, it's been fantastic. I've loved getting to meet everybody. Now the team is gone, so there's a few guys back here doing rehab as well as I. But other than that, I've really enjoyed it here. It's you know, breath of fresh air, different. What was interesting, and this is, I guess I'll start with this, is that I came over to this organization figuring that they would sign people that I had played with before. I have literally never played a single inning with anybody in the Cubs spring training. Not a single person. The closest I had was Michael Gibbons, who I played.
Baltimore.
Technically, I was on a spring training team with for about a week in 2014. Other than that, not a single inning, not a single person. It's crazy.
That is unreal. We are, by the way, recording this on opening day.
Yeah.
And so I'm actually keeping an eye on my Cleveland Guardians as we're doing this.
My Cubby's already won. Solid first game, 5-4, beat Corbin Burns and the Brewers. Great luck.
I know, right? Yeah. Really so you did you watch as much as you could? I know you were kind of busy today.
Yeah, well, I actually had a checkup MRI today. I haven't gotten the results. I'm sure it'll be good. I feel good, which is nice. But I watched as much of it as I could other than that time when I was in the little tube. But the rest of it, yeah, I watched the whole game. Of course.
When we've got a lot to cover here, because when we saw you in Arizona, you were maybe the second player to drop by our John Boy Media compound in Phoenix, which is great.
Yeah.
You were like, yeah, we got a few things cooking. And then we had heard about you and the Cubs possibly. And then you were like, well, kind of hold on. Things aren't great. What happened health wise?
Yeah. First of all, we are a good looking duo, you and I.
That's not quite as good looking as you and Lydia, but okay.
Well, yeah, she's pretty attractive. I'm not going to lie. I really shot over my skis on that one. Okay. Yeah.
All?
So fun story. If you're into that sort of thing, trust, that's like a trust. What would you call that? A trust hold, I guess, not a trust fall.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. So what happened was I talked to the Cubs. I talked to a few other teams too, but I got to a point where I was very happy with the deal that I was signing with the Cubs, and it was a major league deal. And I was really excited about it. And, I went to the facility the day like to take physicals, and you do just a bunch of normal stuff at the field. And then I played catch with David Robertson, who closed today on opening day for the Cubs. And cause he was signing too at the same time. And then we played catch, and there's just a little bit of, you know, a little tightness, but nothing like bad, you know, just like a figure, okay, a little inflammation, of course, right now, but whatever. And so the next morning I go to get my MRIs for the physical, like to join the team. And it had tightened up a little bit more. Like I woke up the next morning and I was tighter in my arms, tricep area kind of place. And I ended up over the next 2 days, it was like a full day before I got a reading from the Cubs. And then like another half a day till I officially got there. Like it's it's bad. So it's like a grade two tricep strain, you know, and just came out of nowhere. And they go, grade two tricep strain happened in at most the last 5 days. And so they're like, sorry, we can't, you know, we can't do a major league deal because, you know, you're not going to be able to play for a while. So, but, you know, credit to the Cubs, they were awesome. They said, we'll give you basically the same deal, but put you on the minor league side of it, you know, because it was a split contract. We'll put you on the minor league side of it. And then, you know, we got an opt out for mid-July. But then they, you know, they were really cool about it. The only problem was that somehow it leaked before everything happened. So somebody put out a tweet saying that I was going to sign a major league deal with the Cubs.
Not us.
No, not you guys. No, it was a reporter. I don't even know who it was. But so I started getting like all these text messages and I'm just sitting there like, that's not what's happening. And I don't know what to say. I don't know what to respond to people. Like, do I tell all of these people like, hey, and explain the whole situation in a text? Or, you know, so a lot of people, I kind of feel bad. I didn't respond to everybody because I just didn't know what to say. But then there was, you know, a few days there of pity party for me and Lydia, that's what we called it. But you know, the truth was, it was like a 4 day, 5 day process that, you know, everything I wanted, silver platter right here. Here you go. You get to go play with the Cubs, big league deal. You know, it's going to be really exciting, really fun. And then sure enough, just snatched it right away, snatched it away from me so quick. So it was a bummer. But you know, for the last however many weeks now, 3.5 weeks, whatever, been going through rehab stuff. I'm unfortunately very accustomed to doing this at this point. But this is the last one. And then we move forward. The career, I always said that 30 line, I hope, is the mid divider line, not like the, you know, near the end. Helps that I'm a left-handed pitcher, so you kind of get more opportunities as you get older than necessarily other guys do. So yeah, I'm gonna just kind of look. I got a half season here. I got to get ready, and I'm going to, and then I'll be good. But it's
unfortunate. A shame you can't rehab in Bradenton. I could have sent you back to the Oktoberfest or whatever that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny about that. We've talked. Lydia and I have talked about that a lot because it's like, you know, we're at home and the field is 10 minutes away. And I mean, it couldn't be a better situation for this.
Good.
So, it's, you know, me, you know, it was tough. I'm not going to lie. It was really tough. I was very upset for a few days. I have really good friends and really good family and Lydia's been awesome to help me get through everything. But, you know, it was tough, but you know, you just kind of, whatever, you take what life gives you and you move on, you know?
Yeah. So what is the goal right now? Is it to be back by midseason? Is that what we're looking at realistically?
Yeah, it'll be before, I mean, I'll be back fully ready before midseason. But you know, it's a minor league deal. So I'm going to go to Iowa and probably have to perform there a little bit to show that I'm actually healthy and like ready to go and everything. And then, yeah, I mean, whenever it is, I guess I got nothing else because I don't really know how it works in this situation either. So all I'm going to do is get healthy and throw baseballs good.
Can I ask and you can decline to answer if you'd like, but I think most of us, including me, who's been around the game for 3 decades, I don't know, like they don't pay you as a major leaguer, right?
Correct. So I'm on like basically so a lot of guys, when you like in my kind of situation, not like there's the big stars that sign the big guaranteed money contracts. Right. Everybody hears about those, but 95% of Major League Baseball players who get past or are in arbitration, get past rookie contract, end up being in a situation that is kind of like mine, which is if I had, I still have an option, which I mean, we're not going to go into options because options is just the most confusing thing.
No,
but basically because I had the option, I signed like a split deal, right? So I have a major league salary and a minor league salary, right? And it's once you sign a minor league contract with a, you know, invite to spring training that has a major league side as well. So I make a certain amount of money on my minor league contract, which is obviously much less than I would make on the big league contract. And basically you just make the money for whatever team you're on. So like, if I'm in the minor leagues, I make the minor league money that day. Next day I get moved to the big leagues. Then that next day I make major league money. So it's just, I mean, that's basically it.
Let's get that major league money. When you were rehabbing, I mean, did you get to know the guys that are up with the Cubs right now?
Decently, you know, it's tough because, you know, I'm not out doing shagging batting practice. I'm not out doing PFPs. I'm not out doing, you know, with the team stretch. I'm doing physical therapy the whole time. So it's, that was kind of one of the big bummers for me, is not being able to really have all that time. That's when you get to know guys. You know, you don't get to know guys in the clubhouse. You get to know guys when you're out on the mound, you know, at 10:30 a.m. doing PFPs and tossing balls over to first while you talk, you know? So yeah, I haven't really gotten to, I think, get to know guys all that well, but I think with time that'll come. And, you know, like I said, I really like the guys here, you know, so far that I've known them, and I've got some good players, man. And that Suzuki kid is unbelievable. He's big. He's really big. I didn't like expect that. I didn't know he was that big.
I'm rooting for him. I love it when guys come over from other places, in particular Japan, and just, I mean, Shohei, we've talked about Shohei, but you know, the fact that he got a great ovation in his first at bat, I think he got a walk, got a hit later, but what a thrill this must be for him. And also probably really scary at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's a different brand of baseball, right? That's what they always say. And he did struggle at the beginning of spring training. You know, I think he was just getting used to the velocity over here and everything. But sure enough, I mean, by the end of spring training, he was solid. He was really good. Hit a few homers, really hard hit singles. And then, you know, he's doing stuff like that. The guy can hit. He can hit. He can run. He can throw. He has an absolute cannon from the outfield. I think he's a really good sign. And I'm excited to play with him. I hope that, you know, as the season goes on, he just kind of sprouts into what he can be.
It seems like he's got a bit of a personality too.
He does. He doesn't speak English like at all.
Right.
But you know, he is really funny. It's always funny when you talk to somebody through a translator, right? So the translator's name, his name is Toy, and he is very small, like a toy. So that's kind of fun. I like that name. But he's a funny guy too, but Seiya is really funny. So I'll say something and it'll be, you know, kind of funny. So Toy will kind of giggle and then say it to Seiya, and then he'll giggle. So then I'll giggle, and then he'll say something back to Toy, and then Toy will giggle again. So there's just so much giggling. It's like that time in between where we're waiting for what the other person said it's a fun experience. It's very interesting. But yeah, no, he's really happy to be here. He's really excited. He absolutely tore up the, you know, the Japanese league, the Nippon League for a while. He was there for 7 years, I think.
Yeah.
Came up when he was 19. I mean, it's pretty impressive stuff.
I love the giggle story because you don't, there's times where you say something and, you know, if you're having a conversation with somebody who's fluent in English, you know, within a half second, whether it hits or not.
Right.
I can't imagine the fear of waiting like 7 to 12 seconds to see whether or not it was really funny.
Right. And also, does what I'm saying kind of translate as a funny thing to his language? You know, I don't know.
Good,
like, you know, so it's there's like a little bit of like, ooh, you know, but he's great. We talked for a while when he first got over there. Actually, we talked for like 45 minutes, which is probably about a 15-minute, 20-minute conversation in English to English or Japanese to Japanese. But I feel like we got a lot of base knowledge about each other, which was cool.
What'd you find out?
Well, I asked him a lot about how the draft works in Japan. So what I found out is that it's kind of like the NBA here, you can go from high school, so you can't do that in the NBA, but you have to declare for the draft over in Japan. So if you like get drafted, you go, kind of thing. It's not like you can get drafted and decide to stay, like stuff like that. But if you go to college, you have to go for 4 years. You have to finish college.
Ouch.
Yeah. And what else did I get from about that stuff? I don't know.
Well, like, what else? Is he married? Is he single?
Oh, dude, I'm so bad. I'm so bad at asking actual important questions to people. Like, I don't even, my parents came to visit us. Okay. And me and Lydia, and they hung out with us for lunch, and then they went and did stuff in Arizona in the evening. All right. So the next day I had lunch with my parents. Lydia's doing something. So afterwards she comes up, she goes, "Oh, so what'd your parents do last night?" And I was like, "Oh, I have no idea." She's like, "What do you mean you have no idea? What did you talk about?" I was like, "I don't know. We just talked about other stuff. It never came up. Yeah, I don't know. So I'm terrible at that. So I couldn't tell you. I may have asked him and I don't remember, but I'm sorry.
You know what? I'm going to have to write a whole list of questions when you do come up to the big league team.
Absolutely. I'll do an interview with Saya.
That would be unbelievable. You could be our Rose Rotation Saya correspondent.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do so.
That would be really good. Did you get a chance to welcome Stro to the team?
A little bit. I mean, I think it's more him welcoming me to the team.
I
mean,
I guess you're right. Other way around, my bad.
But no, he's a nice guy. We haven't, you know, talked all that much. He's pretty busy. He works hard. He does a lot of stuff when he's at the field. He's always moving around. But, you know, I've never seen him pitch in person before this year. And I got to say, the dude's nasty. Nasty. Mm-hmm. And it looks really easy, which is really impressive. I've always noticed that's one of the things you notice about pitchers, like that some guys just make it look so easy. And like in Stroman's long toss and everything, it all just looks so easy. And the ball just goes, whoo. And it's just like, good for you, man. I'm happy for you. That's nice.
And he
it's
ain't
nice
big, by the way.
No, he's
a little dude.
He is actually smaller in person than like he looks on TV. He's not a big guy, but he's very good. But we have a few of those guys. We got Nick Madrigal. He's a small guy, and he's a really good hitter. Our team, we were talking about that. Our big league team is not very tall, you know. But our minor leaguers, oh my gosh, monsters. The Monstars are our entire minor league system, I think.
Well, let me tell you this. One guy you definitely want on your side is Wilson Contreras.
Yeah.
Because I think that guy could kill someone with his hands.
Yeah, he's a big man. But he's one of the guys that I've talked to, you know, because he was a catcher. So, like, when I would come up to the plate, I would say stuff to him. I would talk to him a little bit, whether – you know, if I struck him out and he'd be like, "Poppy, come on, you can't do that to me." And then if he hit a homer off me, which was most of the time, I'd be like, "Dude, come on. Every time. You got to stop doing that. It's not okay."
Didn't you hit him too? I know you had you hit Rizzo a couple times, but didn't you hit Contreras?
Probably. I throw a lot of fastballs inside. So, I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen sometimes. He's got a big old, you know, elbow thing. So I think if I did hit him, I would assume it was probably right there. He gets hit all the time. Oh my gosh. It's so funny. He doesn't even stand that close to the plate. It's just like, I think the scouting report on him, I know the scouting report on him is up and in. You got to go up and in.
Inside.
Yeah. So it's like people go in and not everybody can control that well, you know? And so he just gets hit a lot. I kind of feel bad for the guy sometimes, but he wears it well.
Quick reminder that today's episode of the Chris Rose Rotation is presented to you by SeatGeek. And it's pretty simple. Baseball is back, baby. Go out and pack the stadiums. Go see your favorite players, your favorite teams. It's just an app away. Go download it on your phone right now, and you can scroll through. You can find out whatever seat you so desire. You want to spend some big dough? They got that. Little less money? They got that as well. And one of the great things is SeatGeek actually rates every ticket from 0 to 10 to make sure you're getting a good deal. So green, good. Red, bad. Once again, green, good. Red, bad. So download the SeatGeek app. It is that simple. Not only is it for baseball use, but we got the NBA playoffs that are starting, the NHL as well. If you're a concert goer, it is a great way to grab tickets. So go out. Go enjoy all the things we missed during the pandemic. Thanks to our friends at SeatGeek. Also, use the code ROSE for $20 off your first SeatGeek order. So not only do we want you to go to the event, we want you to save big time money on top of it. Who knows if you're out in sunny Southern California anytime in the near future and you buy a ticket on SeatGeek, you could end up sitting next to me. But then again, they'd probably say that's a little red seat if it's next to Rose. I imagine you'll be watching the Cubs every day. Like, you can only do rehab so much. We've talked about this.
Right.
You know, the good news is you're living with your girlfriend, which is great, in your actual place, which is amazing.
Amazing.
So you do have plenty of things to do in a thriving metropolis, unlike Bradenton.
Unlike Bradenton.
But Phoenix.
No, Bradenton. Seriously, unlike Bradenton. That place, I've been there a long time. I don't need to be there anymore. That's it. Simple as that. I spent too much time in Bradenton.
I could give you $5 million, but you could only live in Bradenton the rest of your life.
$5 million? Dude, Bradenton, the problem is that Bradenton's still expensive because it's still like, I could buy like a trailer out there and I could live happy. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah, I could absolutely live happy in Bradenton for $5 million. I'm a very easy to please guy. I would go to Good Liquid Brewing Company and watch German traditional music every Thursday night and be happy as a clam.
Were they singing as well that time? I forget.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They were. They sang a song that you had to like sing with them. I don't even remember what it was.
Did you sing with them?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? Come on.
But with your tones, with the way you carry a tune, they probably heard you and they were like, whoa.
No, because it wasn't, it's German traditional music, okay? You, like, get through the song, they sing, and then everybody, like, yells something together. You know what I mean? So it's less of a sing-along and more of a, hey, this is when you yell out.
Got it. Oh, my God.
Where the hell is Alan? Alan. Where the hell is that? Who the hell is Alan? Something like that.
you miss Bradenton so much. Look at it. You cannot get it out of your system.
Let's be honest, Chris. I don't want to ever go back. No.
We know that you left Pittsburgh in a very classy way. There's no question. You were very thankful. You sent out a remarkable post. You grew up, you know, as a big leaguer there, all that sort of stuff. Will you be able to turn on a Pirates game if they're not playing the Cubs and watch?
I already watched. I watched today. Yeah. Okay. But here, first of all, I'm a huge baseball fan. Let's talk about this a bunch. I watch a lot of baseball. Okay. So I still have a lot of friends on the Pirates. So I want to see how they're doing. So yeah, of course I'll turn on a game. I'm not a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates anymore. I am a Cubs fan, but I still have friends that play for the Pirates. And so if they're not playing against us, yeah, of course I want them to succeed. If they're playing against us, I hope they give up 20. You know, it's just it's that simple. It's very easy to turn off and on when you have a team that you're specifically playing for, you know. But you're right. I mean, I loved my time in Pittsburgh. I got to know the city really well. I got to know the people well. I mean, it was a cool place. But also, you know, like, of course, my entire life I've wanted to play for the Cubs. It's the Chicago Cubs, man. They play in Wrigley Field. Like, everybody knows the Cubs. And so that was one of the things that I was really excited about, is just kind of that feeling. It's one of the teams. When you think of baseball, you think of the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Cubs, right? I mean, that's...
We got to get you up there, man. I don't know how we do it. We pray,
Chris,
to
there's
the
nothing you can do, but I promise you, I will get it done.
I can't do anything?
You can't do anything. Maybe you can make another cool jersey with your name on the back.
Well, you could always send me a Cubs one, because Miggy Rowe sent me that. That's the Miami City Connect. And then Jimmy and Jake made me a John Boy jersey.
A John Boy jersey. Jimmy and Jake made me a John Boy jersey. Wow. It's a lot of J's.
By the way, you had met those guys before. They rolled through Pittsburgh a year ago. But what did you think of the crew when you dropped by the house?
I didn't know there were that many people. That was the big surprise to me. There were like 30 people there. I was like, oh my gosh. I walked in because the front door was open. So Lydia and I walk in, and I'm just kind of like, and immediately the first person that I saw, I had never seen before. He must work for John Boy in some way. And he just goes, Steven, how's it going, man? So good to have you here. And I'm like, It's great that you know who I am, because if you were just like, who's that guy? Why are you here? You know, like, because I walked in like, I don't know where to go. I don't know who to talk to, but everybody was so nice and welcoming. Oh my gosh. I loved it. And it's like a big kid playground.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff
killer.
I love. Yeah.
The house was
gosh.
Yeah. And you do, I'll give you credit. We ran you right through the ringer. You did the pitch and putt. You did the Chris Rose trivia show, which will be coming out at some point later on this year. I don't think you tried blitzball, did you?
No, there was no blitzball going on when I was there.
Okay. Yeah, good. Cause I'm thinking to myself, my God, that's not where he injured his triceps, was it? Jesus. No, but you did a bunch of other stuff. And Lydia is a trooper, man. Cause that sometimes it's not easy. Like you're going into something but man, she could hang. I loved it.
Well, yeah. Yeah. She's as good as talking shit as anybody I've ever met. She doesn't do it all that often. She picks her spots, but when she gets, I mean, she's on it. She's quick.
Baseball is back. And so it is time for what? You to take care of yourself. Courtesy of manscaped.com. Use the code word Rose. Right now, you're going to get 20% off of your order plus free shipping. That's right. It is time to take care of yourself for that someone special in your life. And it's a full bore attack. It starts with what? The Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. I've been talking about this thing. I just went on a great trip with my wife, had to clean myself up, make sure I was feeling good. And believe me, I'm nice and clean. On top of that, we got the Weed Whacker. That's for your ear and nose hair. I'm a guy that's got all sorts of problems with that. How many times have I told you, Michelle will walk on over and she looks at me. I'm like, really? Again? She's like, yeah, go take care of that thing with the Weed Whacker, please. On top of that, we got the Crop Preserver. It's the anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer and the Crop Reviver spray-on toner for your balls. So go take care of yourself. In addition, April is also Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. So Manscaped has partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness. Did you know that in men ages 15 to 30, it is the most common form of cancer? So what you got to do is you come out of the shower, you got to check yourself occasionally. It's really important. And if something doesn't feel right, please go see your doctor today, because the life you might save could be your own. So once again, this is all about manscaped.com. Code word Rose. You'll get 20% off your offer and free shipping. So you had to go in the big old MRI tube, which most people have never had an MRI. I've had a few of them.
I've had a few.
I've had a couple. I am also very claustrophobic.
Oh, that's a problem.
But for some reason, I am able to hit the zone of the MRI tube, because the MRI tube is like this close to you.
Yeah, right.
And they put you all the way in. They put you all the way in. So there's no, you know.
But what'd you get looked at?
I had a little bit of a head issue. They had to see if I had a brain.
I had to check if I actually had a brain in my head.
Came back inconclusive.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I had to do that. And first of all, it's loud as shit in there. There's that pounding. Like we can't figure out how to do this where there's no, it sounds like they're taking a jackhammer right outside the tube.
Okay. It's actually really funny you say that. While I was in the tube today, I was thinking I need to do research on the MRI machine, because I need to figure out where it came from, when it started, who invented it. Obviously, these things are worth so much money because they're massive, and they take pictures that are so specific, but there's no cameras. So it's like X-ray technology mixed with like sound waves or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. So I think the sound might be actually necessary. Like when you get an ultrasound and it needs to have, you know, that's what it's doing, is putting sound waves in. But if you get like, they have like mega ultrasounds that actually you can hear the sound it makes, because the sound waves are actually audible to us. So maybe that's what an MRI does, but I have no idea. So I'm also talking out my ass and could be completely wrong.
Do you listen to music in there, or is it something else?
I don't listen to anything.
What do you mean?
I go earbuds, you know, like no headphones, just earplugs. That's what I'm looking for.
Really?
Yeah, earplugs, and I usually fall asleep.
You fall asleep with that thing?
Oh, absolutely. No problem. I got it from my dad. I can fall asleep anywhere. I can probably fall asleep right now sitting in this chair.
Well, please don't. I know that people think I'm boring as shit. Please do not add to that.
You're not that boring.
Please.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. Dude, getting MRIs done is the ultimate, like, you know, it's kind of like a nail in the coffin kind of thing. And it's very coffin-like, so it's very fitting, where it's just like, I'm not going to be playing for a while. If you're getting an MRI, you're probably not playing for a while.
When can you throw?
Hopefully soon. It's like soon, but it's depending on the results of this MRI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Should I call for him right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get a live.
Wouldn't that be great? I could call. I'd be like, yeah, I'm calling for Stephen Brault's MRI results. Who is this, Stephen? No, he's my co-host of the Chris Rose
Rotation.
He's actually
with me right now on the show.
But he has fallen asleep, so I'm calling for him.
But I swear he's there. But he looks so peaceful, I can't wake him up.
I saw on your social media this offseason that you and Lydia went to Disneyland.
Yeah.
I don't believe we've talked about that. Are you a big amusement park guy?
No. No, I that was probably the first time I've been to Disneyland, and I would say probably 10 years, something like that.
Is she a big, I mean, how'd we decide on this?
It was just one of those things. It was like, we should go to Disneyland. They have that new Star Wars, you know, thing that they opened up, and I'm a huge Star Wars fan. So that was one of the main reasons. Actually, my brother is a much bigger amusement park guy than me. And he went when Star Wars opened, and he was just like hitting me with, you have to go. You have to go check it out. It's so cool. So Star Wars-y. I like Disneyland. I don't really care about the rides, if we're going to be honest. I like the rides for, you know, sentimental value from when I was like a little kid. I don't really care about rides. I just think Disneyland is so amazing at making you feel like you're in like a magical kingdom. You are somewhere else. You know what I mean? Like every different section of the park is so perfectly well done. And even the new Star Wars section, you walk in, you feel like you're in a Star Wars movie. It is so amazing. Everybody, like all of the, even the trash cans are all themed. Like they all look correct. There's nothing out of place. And all of the people who work there are in character the whole time. They're wearing Star Wars clothes. If you say something about, like, they won't say this costs $21. They'll say this costs 21 credits, like in Star Wars. So everything. So if you try to say, for example, I want to get one of those little Baby Yoda plush toys, right? Mm-hmm. So I asked, can I get one of those Baby Yodas? And the guy looked at me and was like, well, that's not his name. And I was like, you're right. Sorry. His name is Grogu. Can I get one of the Grogus? And he's like, yes, yes, you can. And I was like, I like you, guy. I love that stuff. I love that stuff. That's why the rides that I like the most are usually like Indiana Jones. What are the other ones? Like Pirates of the Caribbean. The ones that are not even like crazy rides. They're just so in it. And we did go to that bar as well. There's a bar in the Star Wars area that is like you have to sign up for and go to. That's not this. It's inside. And it is a Star Wars bar. There's a droid up on the thing playing music. And there's, you know, once again, everybody that works there is all in Star Warsville. It's so cool.
Yeah. But yeah, by the way, you just paid your entire minor league check for those two drinks that we just saw.
Yeah. Well, this isn't me. I don't know what this is.
Oh, okay. So don't. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Rob has just found this somewhere. That's what makes him the best producer in the biz.
Just to give you some context.
Thank you, Rob.
Rob is he just typed in Disneyland Star Wars. Give me something really quick. And then click, luckily, it's a good video and not a video that we have to edit out later.
So Brady, our youngest, who's in high school, went when this Star Wars thing, you know, I wouldn't say opened up, but it was still relatively new. And we picked him up from a friend's house and he got in the car. He goes, Dad, that was the best thing I've ever done. It was so cool. He said, I can't explain it, but it's like you're in the middle of this ride and people are chasing you and stuff. Is that what's happening? Like there's people that are dressed
like
up
other vehicles. Yeah. They have two different rides there. They have the Smuggler's Run and then the main one. I don't even remember what the main one is called, but they're both like the main one is basically like an evolution of the Indiana Jones ride where you're on a track, but it feels like you're in a Jeep getting tossed around, going through all this stuff. So it's like that, but it feels like you're on like a speeder ship, you know?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So it's, I mean, it's impressive stuff, but we were there for 8 hours. We probably went on 5 or 6 rides the entire time. And yeah, most of the time we just spent walking around and taking in everything. I mean, it was.
You're a big people watcher, aren't you?
And we watched, we were, this has to be a coincidence, but we were in front of like the castle, right? And so we were taking pictures and stuff. And there was this guy videotaping a girl doing like a TikTok dance, right? And this is at like noon. And she's doing these dances, whatever. And he's videoing. And then they would look at it together. And then they would, you know, try it again. We came back like 5 hours later and they were still doing it. So there's, I seriously doubt they were doing it the entire time. But maybe. I don't have any proof that they weren't. But they were really into it. I mean, they were the TikTok dance. They were not like the simple ones. I mean, she was doing full on dances. She just had headphones in. So she couldn't, like, nobody else could hear the music that she's listened to. And she's just dancing like a crazy person by herself in front of the castle. And it's just like, good for you. The hustle, I respect. I couldn't do it myself, but good for you.
Not a dancer, huh? We know you're a singer, not a dancer.
I'm not a, I can follow around, you know, tell me what to do. I can do a pretty good job. That's why, like, we go to like line dancing bars or two-step bars, whatever those are called.
Okay.
Halfway through the song, I've got it, you know, I can follow. Yeah. Good follower. Sheep. I'm a sheep.
By the way, good thing you did not follow us out that night that we went out.
Oh yeah. Bad night, huh? Well, yeah. You texted me the next day. You were like, you're like a college kid again. Just like, oh, I can't do anything. I'm so hungover.
I guess they call it an Irish goodbye. I didn't know that's what it was, but I kind of snuck out. We were throwing back a few heavy shots and from bar to bar. And I was like, oh my God, I can't do this anymore. So I ordered up an Uber.
Yep. That's the Irish goodbye. We've all done it.
Yeah.
It's the best way to leave anything, really. It's the best way. They don't have to say bye to everybody. I don't need to have this conversation at the end of the night. I'm out. See you guys.
I'll give you the rest of the crew credit. They hung. They hung for a couple hours longer. I just couldn't. I had to tap out. I had enough.
Hey, man. You're doing great for yourself. All right. You don't look 50. All right. You don't. But the truth is, you're 50, man. That's going to catch up with you faster than it's going to catch up with the 30-year-olds. It's true.
I was hanging for a while.
Yeah. I'm sure you did a great job. I know you. Yeah. You have a lot of stick-to-itiveness, even when it comes to drinking. I'm sure that applies.
What is happening, baseball fans? It's time to step up to the plate with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. New customers can bet just $5 on any team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you could still take a swing at Stacks of Green with DraftKings daily fantasy baseball contests. New customers can play for free for thousands in prizes with their first deposit. Pick a lineup of 2 pitchers and 8 batters while staying under the salary cap and rack up points in hits, runs, strikeouts, and more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code ROSE, and bet just $5 and win $200 in free bets if your team wins their game. That's promo code ROSE at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. 21 plus, restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission. See show notes for details. And back to the show.
Did you watch the Grammys last week?
Well, no. I don't care to watch celebrities pat each other on the back about how great they are. No, I don't watch that stuff. Sorry, I want to rephrase that. I don't watch that shit. Grammys, Oscars, I don't need that in my life. It's stupid.
I thought maybe you would watch the Grammys for performances.
No. Mm-hmm.
Still no interest.
No interest. No interest. I have no interest in that. I can't get behind it. I never have been able to. I don't care about the Grammys because I think the Grammys do things so strangely where it'll be like best rock album and like, you know, somebody who's such barely technically on the verge of rock music can be in that category and win it. So I don't like that, you know. It's just not me. And it's just popular music. So who's to say that the best rock album is this super popular album when actually it's garbage music, but it got really popular. Meh. Oscars, I won't watch it, but I'll go look at, you know, what won afterwards. Because I am interested in what won. I just don't want to watch it. I don't, like I said, 4 hours of people going, oh, you're so great. You're so amazing. Look at us. Look how rich and successful we are. I don't need that.
You would not do well in Los Angeles.
I hate Los Angeles. I hate it. I've always hated LA. The amount of ego in LA it's amazing that it fits in LA. You know, like you'd think that it would expand so much that it would just, the city would become even bigger and it would just take over San Diego. Thank God it doesn't.
So I've lived out here for 22 and a half years or so. Mm-hmm. And I could live here the rest of my life and I will never call it home. Never. Yeah,
it's not home. It's
where I live. And I will say this, there are endearing parts of it. I love the fact that you could be at the water or be at the mountains, neither of which I take full advantage of. I love it that there's every type of person from the world out here. So I'm a big fan of that. I think that's great. But there's a lot of it that is.
Well, but those two things you listed are also both San Diego. So just go to San Diego.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you. I love San Diego. I love going to visit our oldest son there.
I've never liked LA. It's so funny. People, you know, when you meet somebody new, like in a baseball team and you say, oh yeah, I'm from San Diego. They go, oh yeah, I'm from the LA area. I'm from somewhere. Right. And they just expect you to know where it is. Like, I don't know all the neighborhoods in LA, the little individual towns in LA. I went there like 4 times growing up and it was always to go to a Dodgers game and come back down. That was it. We only went to LA for Disneyland, Dodgers games. I'm sure there was some other reason. I went up there to record my album, but I was in Glendale and I stayed away from, you know, Beverly Hills and Hollywood and everything. Just blech. So much blech about LA.
It's a good description. Blech is good. Yeah. Okay.
But I have some friends who live in LA and absolutely love it. And more power to you. You know, it's fine. Everybody has their preferences. It's like New York. Some people love New York. And every time we go play there, I'm like, how do people live here?
It's really? Just you can't handle it, huh?
So constrained. So small.
You and Miggy Rowe are the same exact way. He can't stand. He's got to make 3 trips there a year with the Marlins and he can't stand it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it just seems so constricted. And the funny thing is, I actually really like living. I like living near stuff. I like being walkable from places. It's one of the things I loved about our house in San Diego. Here we're not, but we're an 8-minute drive. So it's not bad. But like, in New York, it's a different level. I mean, and also we're talking about, if you just put everything together, price of living and, you know, just the quality of places that you live, unless you have a ton of money, it's just going to be crap. And I don't want to do that. You know, I'd rather live in a nicer place than somewhere that is not necessarily like the place to be.
I want you to live in Chicago the worst way. It's like my favorite city, May through October. It is such a great
place. I've always loved visiting Chicago because it's not as constricted. The difference is like if you drive, when you go through Chicago, when you get near Wrigley, and you like the Wrigleyville area, it is an older area. So the roads are smaller. But like when it comes to the actual like big city part of Chicago, I mean, you're on like big roads, you know, it's not tiny where buses are struggling to get through and like, you know what I mean? It's just not as hectic, I guess, is the way I would describe it. I love Chicago. I am really excited to live there. And I'm excited that I get to avoid the parts where it gets to negative 40 degrees. I don't think I'd like that much.
No, not at all.
Did you,
so what are you guys going to, what?
Where did you live before LA?
Atlanta. I worked at CNN for 3 years, from 96 through 99.
That was Atlanta.
How was it?
Yeah.
I actually appreciated it more after I left. It was a big city that was really growing. growing. I lived out near where the new ballpark is.
Yeah, and that wasn't like super built up, right? It's being built up around the ballpark.
Now it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like it was just, there's a thing called the perimeter, 285. It's the freeway that circles the city. It's like 60 miles. It's huge. Mm-hmm. But it takes you all the way around the city. And the northwest quadrant is where the Braves ballpark is. It's all the way out in the burbs now. So, I mean, but I liked it. I used to golf. This is pre-kids. Michelle and I got married while I lived there in 97. And I golfed a couple times a week. Michelle was doing some teaching and some other stuff and all good.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds nice. I like Atlanta when we go there. We don't really stay. We didn't stay like in the city. We stayed a little bit outside of the city. So I didn't really get too much experience with it, but.
I do want to ask you about Brian Reynolds. His name has been bandied about in trade talk for a while. For people that aren't familiar with how good this guy is.
He's a genuine star. Like he is. If you just look at his numbers from last year, the guy hit 302 with 24 homers and 90 RBIs in one of the lower productive offenses in baseball. He's a legitimate star. He's also fast. He's good in the outfield. He has a good arm. He's smart. I mean, he's knowledgeable about the game. He's a switch hitter. He does everything really well. The like when people talk about a five-tool player, you know, I feel like I think the point of that phrase that it has become is like Mike Trout, right? So he is the five-star player, which means he's amazing at everything. Brian Reynolds is like just the tier below that. He's good at everything. And I would say he's a great hitter, but he's still five tool. He does it all. He's really impressive. He's all like, since he first came up, he had a little down year, the COVID year, but a lot of people did. But last year he tore it up and I mean, I don't see why he wouldn't tear it up again. But it'll be interesting because I know there's been trade talks and they were also talking about doing maybe signing to an extension, but that never came to fruition. Then they got Kibrian on the extension today. I would think that they have to still throw some tries at it, I would think, but we'll see.
Except that they took him to arbitration for a difference of $650,000. Like that is your star, man. You know, I understand the business side of this shit, but man, really? Like, how about you say, you know what? We'll come up by $450,000. Will you take that? Like, right? Doesn't it make sense?
I don't know. Seems like it to me. But what do I know? I'm ignorant in the dealings of the business of baseball. I've unfortunately learned a lot about it. But that's mostly because you know that middle ground of player. That I am like, there's a lot of interesting workings that go on in baseball that people don't really know about. And it can kind of kill the fun sometimes, you know, because you realize that this is a business, you know? And when you're a kid, when you imagine playing the big leagues, you just imagine playing in the big leagues. You don't think about all the other stuff that goes around it, you know? Going back to Brian, he's an incredible player. And I'm excited to see if they trade him away, that would be a very sad day for Pittsburgh, a really sad day, because I don't see, it's hard for me to see why they wouldn't, but they've never done it before. The biggest deal they ever gave was Kutch and it was like $81 million.
Yep.
And Brian Reynolds is worth more than that. So it's going to be, I just don't see him doing it.
I don't either.
That's just sad. It's just sad. Pittsburgh has a legitimate star that they're not going to get to appreciate the way that they should. The only reason they got to appreciate Kutch is because he took a deal that was considered, you know, not good for his level of play. He won an MVP making like $7 million a year. It's crazy.
Interesting. I think I've played two truths and a lie with you, right?
Probably at some point. Yeah.
So I'm going to say three statements about you as a baseball player. Two are true. One is a lie.
And I have to guess which one is the lie.
You have to find the lie.
Okay.
Stephen Brault has more than 20 big league hits. Stephen Brault has pitched in 28 of the 30 stadiums. Stephen Brault has his best career ERA when Elias Diaz is catching him.
I know which one is the lie. It's too easy. The stadium one is the lie.
Why do you say that's too easy?
Well, because I know for a fact that I've pitched in every National League stadium. And I also know for a fact that I have not played in many American League stadiums. I also know that I have like 33 hits or something like that.
Well, I think you have 23 hits.
23 hits.
You had 14 in 2019.
Yeah.
14 hits in a year.
Well, they're using me as a pinch hitter. So
that doesn't mean you're going to get hits.
That's true.
You had almost 800 OPS.
Well, that was when I was going to go to the two-way thing. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? You don't remember that.
What are you talking about?
At the end of 19, I had my end of season meeting with Clint Hurdle and Neil Huntington was, we want you to go hit this offseason and come back and be like a replacement outfielder and like pinch hit more often kind of thing. So not like
Michael Lorenzen.
Yeah, like Mike Lorenzen, not a full two-way player, but yeah, like the Mike Lorenzen kind of thing. And then COVID happened, and then they changed the 26-man roster. Then they super expanded the rosters because of COVID, and they were just like, never mind. We don't need it anymore.
What a bummer.
I know. It was going to happen. It came out. They said it. They said it to the media that I was going to do that.
You could have been Shohei before Shohei.
Well, let's not get crazy. I don't know if I would. He hits for a lot of power. He's a very, very large man. I'm not. I'm a little man. But yeah, no, that was a real thing. That was a real thing. It's funny. I went to, you know, every now and then when you can't pitch, you want to see yourself pitch, right? Like, hey, remember when you used to do this thing? That was pretty fun. And so I'll go like watch an old game of mine or something. Always one where I do well. I'm not going to watch myself suck. That would be no fun. But yeah. And so when I like typed it in to search that, it like that news story came up. So it's not hard to find.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
My career could have gone very differently. Look at that.
There it is. Can Stephen Brault become a two-way player in 2020?
See, I'm not making these things up. And I was so excited. Oh my gosh.
There he is. There's Michael Lorenzen. Yeah. God, this is fascinating. All right.
I think my favorite comments, though, were the ones that were like, Pirates are so cheap that instead of going to sign another player, they're just going to turn this guy into a sort of hitter. I was like, oh, I didn't look at it like that. That's kind of sad.
Dude, you could rake. You could rake. You could swing it. I love every bit of it.
Thanks, man.
That's really good.
Thanks.
All right. You want to spin the wheel of moderately interesting things?
Would love to.
So since we passed the 100 episode plateau, and by the way, thank you very much for your contribution over the last year.
Oh, hey, can I say something real quick about that?
By all means.
You know, when you first started this, when you called me one day in the off season, like whatever, a year ago, and you were like, hey, I have this idea. Can you tell me if it sucks? Do you remember this phone call we had? We talked for like an hour.
Yeah.
And I still think about that phone call sometimes because I was like, I don't know why Chris would ask me if I thought it was a good idea when he's already got like John Boy Media saying it's a good idea. I feel like that's a much more valuable opinion in this sort of thing, but I appreciated it a lot. And we talked about a lot of things like how we would do it. How many players should you have, like that kind of stuff. I like knowing that I was a part of, you know, some sort of part of creation of this, but also what I think is really cool is the fact that it has gotten this far. Who knew? Who knew? Get over 100 episodes. That's awesome.
No. And you know what? People were like, well, are you going to change up the rotation? the nice thing when I talk to all of you guys in the offseason, obviously with Archie Bradley, you know, things didn't work out, and I fully respect him. There's no beef. Right. Life gets in the way. You guys were doing this on your time and giving listeners a peek inside of what it's like to be a Major League Baseball player. And we talk about a bunch of other things. So, but all you guys wanted to come back, which is awesome.
Yeah. That means. But I loved how during the offseason you had a lot of like non-rotation players come out. I thought that was awesome. I watched a lot of them. I thought they're really interesting.
Yeah. And by the way, we're going to continue to do that. I like to try and pair you guys up with people, whether you know them or you don't know them. And I'm going to continue. Right. It's just sometimes schedules don't align in this wild baseball world that we're in. And we made an announcement today that we have filled out the rotation with Austin Hedges of my Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah. My buddies are really excited about that. You know, the former Padre great Austin Hedges.
Yes. Yeah. He is very funny. He is very much all over the place, but in a really good way.
Love that.
Yeah. And I think it's nice to have a catcher too, because it's kind of the intermediary between the pitching and the everyday player world, if you will.
The guys that just do an unbelievable amount of work is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they never get to take BP. They're always
They don't.
Well, they do, you know, but a lot of times they're like doing stuff, you know, they have like stuff they have to do, especially in spring training.
Got it. Okay. So I've got a bunch of new categories here. Hopefully I can remember what they all are, but here we go. Feeling good. Okay.
Wow, Chris,
you're the first one to get that.
That's really screwed up, man.
Why's that?
Because I'm not playing. I'm not feeling good.
But it has nothing to do. It doesn't say, tell me how your triceps is doing.
Then
that's
I'm
not what it said.
That one? Is that what we're doing? That was a Tommy Edmonds walkout song for a while. I don't know if it still is.
Oh. Okay. Feeling good is what is the one beauty product when you're getting all dolled up, someplace to go that is a must for you?
Okay, I don't really, I'm bad at this. So my hair is naturally very curly. So if I put stuff in it, it just ends up becoming. So this is actually nothing. There's nothing in there. This is just, okay. So I don't do too much hair stuff. I don't wear cologne. Deodorant is probably, if we're being actual, like real deodorant. Like I use Fiji Old Spice deodorant and it smells great.
That's the best we could do here.
And then the other one is lotion, because I get really, really dry skin. And especially it really shows up on my tattoos if I don't lotion myself. So I lotion a lot. Does that count? That's all I have.
Absolutely, it does. I don't ever use lotion. And my wife is like, how is it that your skin is still so soft if you don't lotion yourself? I said, honey, put the lotion in the basket. Give me the damn dog. Give me the damn dog. Have you seen her? She's a kind of a big fat girl. She's about a size 14.
You're too good at that, man. For all the young listeners who don't know what we're doing, good. here's the other thing I always have with me is Cool Rush Barbasol can.
Barbasol.
Yeah, that stuff. I love Barbasol. It's my favorite. It's my favorite. It's a smooth shave. I use it every day.
Wait a second. So you foam up? You don't use the gel that turns into? Wow, really? You're like, that's like old school.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to when I have like this is still a rental house, you know. When we have like our house and I have my bathroom, I am going to have a real razor. Like, you know, like barbers have, like a
whoa,
real
whoa,
razor.
Like a straight blade?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I'll
no
have a
way.
Leather strap that I'm
no, the only guys that can use that are cartoon characters, because they do it and then the growth immediately grows back.
And then I'll have one of those little puffy things that you put the shaving cream on, like that, you know?
One of the little brushes?
Yeah, yeah. I want a beautiful shaving setup, because that's the only thing I do consistently. I shave, if not every day, every other day.
It is the most annoying thing ever. Ever. I remember my dad telling me, I was like, Dad, when am I, because I was kind of a late bloomer, when am I going to like get whiskers folded? He's like, Chris, You don't want them. It's such a pain in the ass to shave every day. And I can't believe you do it.
My dad shaves every morning. Like he has like one of those razors where you like replace the razor blade, you know?
Yeah, that's most of us have it.
Well, I just use like the Gillette one blade once. Oh, no. And man, look at this. I don't have any.
Clean, I can tell from here.
Yeah, I like having a clean shaven face. It feels nice. Feels nice. And I actually like shaving. During the off season, it's kind of annoying because like I'm at home and it's not. But when I'm at the fields and I have hours, I always shave.
Interesting. I shave only when I know I'm going to be on camera for something where they definitely don't want, here at John Boy, I could have stubble, not have stubble. They don't care about that stuff. But if I'm doing NFL Network, if I'm doing BattleBots, I'm always shaving. Or if it's date night with Michelle and something's on the horizon.
Yeah. What's your clone of choice? I know you're a clone guy, 100%.
So I had a cologne, which I don't think they make anymore, but it was my favorite one called Sacred Wood.
Please tell me that every time you put it on, you said, babe, I'm going to give you this Sacred Wood tonight. Yeah.
Hell yes.
Yes.
Come on. I was like, that's right. Poppy's bringing the Sacred Wood out with him tonight.
Yes. That's amazing. I want that. I want that. I don't care how it smells. I want it.
So we would go, we'd go out with several couples, like our dear, dear friends. And they would, I'd give them a hug. And Lisa would always be like, you always smell so great. And then Heather would be like, Chris, you smell so good. Can you tell Randy what that is? And I'd be like, oh my God, this is incredible.
Sacred Wood.
Yeah, no joke.
I used to use cologne a little bit more, but I just like, for me, it's specifically like a go out thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like fancy night out.
Well, that's all it is for me. I mean, I got to be honest, like my shower over under per week is like 3.5 right now. Just at this point, sorry. Is that bad?
I think I could smell you from here. I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, bring it.
I shower, twice a day usually.
No, I shower more than that.
It's okay, man. You don't have to walk back on your statement now. It's fine. You gremlin, you ogre, you disgusting creature, you.
Well, I think our time is done.
Yeah, that's fine.
I am rooting for a successful return of the MRI.
Thank you, me too.
And then... And let's think, since you do have some time, so I think that obviously you'll have your rehab work to do and whatever you've got, but.
Give me one of those damn Plouffe things. The Instagram live thing you do or whatever.
Oh, wait, you want to come on Baseball Today?
You, that was one of our challenges like months ago.
You're right.
And we've never done it, but now that baseball's back.
You know what? I'm going to make a deal with you.
Okay.
So we shoot that every morning at about 8:30 Pacific time.
Okay.
Now I know you'll probably be busy most days, but Plouffe is going on a little bit of a trip somewhere.
I need
people to fill in.
Hit me up. I'm down. I figured out. I can make it work. I'll do it at the Cubs clubhouse if I have to.
It's 25 minutes. All you need is Zoom.
I have Zoom on all of my devices.
Okay, this is going to be great. I think people would love to hear you on Baseball Today.
I'd love to do it. Let's do it.
Okay. I love it. All right. Well, listen, it's always good to see you smiling. I appreciate just seeing you and hanging out with you and all that sort of stuff and hearing about your trips to Disneyland and the fact that all you wear is deodorant. And, this is what makes you you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I love hearing that you only shower 3.5 times a week on average.
I said that's the over under. I would take the over.
I would
a lot
hammer the under, folks.
I got to tell you, I am a little ripe right now because I just haven't had time today. So it's been a long day.
I might be a little bit too. The MRI machine was pretty toasty in there today, a little warm.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. You might have to get that third shower in and pose off afterwards. That's one thing. I mean, I have to shower right after I get off an airplane.
Absolutely. It's disgusting. You feel so gross.
Yeah. Like when you would land at like 3 a.m. somewhere on a road trip, isn't the first thing you would do hop in the shower before you go to bed?
Oh, yeah. Quick hose down. I also, a lot of times, just wouldn't go to bed.
Pardon me?
Yeah. Yeah. Like if we, like when I was in the minor leagues and we'd get in at like 4 a.m, I just wouldn't go to sleep. I could just get coffee, set up my room, play some video games.
What if you were pitching?
Well, obviously, if I was pitching, I wouldn't do that. Sleep for like an hour.
You are an interesting one.
Thank you.
Tell Lydia hello for us, please.
She's upstairs.
Well, just tell her hi.
Okay.
Okay. Always awesome catching up with the one and only Stephen Brault. Special shout out to our producer extraordinaire, Robbie Scirocco. I am Chris Rose. We will see you next time here on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media and presented to you by SeatGeek.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.